Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. With more than 35 years at the top of the profession, Steve Cohn has led campaigns from many companies, including Citigroup, American Express, Fidelity, Apple, and United Airlines, as well as presidential campaigns for both major parties. Steve is currently Executive Vice President and Senior Advisor at Epsilon and works directly with clients in all industries to design, implement, measure, and optimize multi-channel marketing programs. He's a leading authority on consumer marketing and the author of the best-selling books, Steal These Ideas, Marketing Secrets That Will Make You a Star, and Power Lines, Words That Sell Brands, Grip Fans, and Sometimes Change History. Steve, welcome to Edgewise.
Thank you.
Well, let's go right to the heart of the matter. Today's chaotic marketplace. Many companies are in survival mode. Budgets are being slashed, and marketing departments especially are being asked to do more with much less. Do you have any advice for our listeners on things they can do quickly and simply to outmarket their competitors in this recession?
I do.
Okay.
The things that make marketing effective in a down economy are tried and true in any economy, and they boil down to just a few things that most marketers today really don't focus on. Number one, whatever product or service you're trying to get consumers to pay attention to, bear in mind that even in a down economy, the number is staggering. About $40 billion a month is spent on marketing promotional stuff in this country.
Yep.
There's so much advertising, even in a down economy. How do you break through it all is always a challenge. And the way you do it is very simple. One, whatever you're promoting has to be exciting to the eye or to the ear. Number two, you've got to give consumers real news, something new and different about your product or service that will get their attention. Number three, which is amazing to me that people don't do a good job of, is you have to have a very strong, very compelling call to action, reason to respond, either by phone or to a website today. And while most companies have a call to action, usually it's an eye test. You see this all the time in print advertising and on television and on brochures. What do I do?
Okay, you got me. Now what?
The response mechanism is so small, usually you miss it. Plus, there's no incentive to respond. How about telling people something good will happen if they call you or if they go to your website right away? It will only take 5 minutes. Or as Geico says very well in all their advertising, 15 minutes may save you 15%. So try to give a benefit in the call to action.
Right.
Point two about what people can do right now. Let's assume that consumers in this economy are bored and frightened.
That's definitely true.
What do you do? You've got to entertain them a little bit. What I called excitement a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. So think about how to project yourself, your company, your product or service as a personality with some attitude. A few companies are doing a very good job of that right now. One in particular, an airline. Typically, airlines don't do very good advertising, in my opinion, but JetBlue is doing a very, very good job projecting personality and attitude. And they've had a series of ads out recently that poke fun at corporate muckety-mucks and bigwigs who have been chided for flying private jets. JetBlue makes the point, hey, dump the jet, come with us. We have leather seats. We have entertainment at each seat.
Right.
What they don't say is we have screaming kids throughout the plane.
That's why headphones were invented, you know. Steve, how can marketers gain top-of-mind awareness in their industry right now?
The best way to differentiate yourself from everyone else is to say you're different and stick to it. In other words, have a strong differentiating brand promise and then keep it. A really good example is the city of Las Vegas, which 5 years ago noticed a precipitous decline in visitors and as a result hired a local copywriter to come up with a brand promise tagline, which was Las Vegas, what happens here stays here. Almost immediately, using that as a basis for a print and TV campaign, they saw a huge uptick in visitors because that's the essence of Las Vegas. Come here, do what you want, no one cares. And that's what its core brand promises. Then they get tired of the line. 2 years ago, they dumped it and started fiddling around with other lines. Tourism went down again. And they just announced last week that they've brought back Las Vegas, what happens here stays here. It differentiates Las Vegas.
Yeah.
The line is so genuine and so believable, everyone over the age of 11 knows it.
It's not complicated. It just distills the Vegas experience down to one line. It's amazing.
And it has personality and attitude. I've created taglines for one town and one small business that go along the same lines, personality and attitude. For instance, Summit, New Jersey. The head of the Chamber of Commerce came to me a couple of years ago and said, we don't like the line that we just paid a lot of money for, which was something like Summit, live it, shop it, love it, which no one's going to remember. So he said to me, could you come up with something better? And I thought for a minute and I said, sure, Summit. Everything else is downhill.
Okay. I have a question for you. Because of the economy and the fear in the marketplace right now, what do you find sells better, a fear message or a positive message?
Oh, I think a positive message wrapped around recognition of customer loyalty. I'll give you a very good example. I was in a restaurant, the high-end restaurant in Dallas called Abacus, and at the top of the wine list, it says Chef Kent's stimulus package, and it lists 60 wines and the price and two columns, was, is, and showed that there was a significant lower price for each of these bottles of wine. Now, that's fun. It's recognizing what's going on out there, and it's a positive.
Right.
People are looking for the ability to chuckle and also find value in the products and services they're buying. That's a perfect example of someone doing the right thing.
With all the media choices that are currently available, which promotional vehicle do you suggest marketers primarily focus their efforts on?
Every company should do whatever it takes to get every customer's email address, then communicate on a one-to-one basis, which is easy to do with the technology available today through email, with their customers and identified prospects, people that have given them permission to use their email addresses.
Of course.
It's amazing to me that on average, companies only have about 16% of their existing customers' email address. It's the cheapest, greenest form of communication today. It's instantaneous. You can get out a message extremely quickly. It can be very personal. There's lots of fun things you can do with email today, as long as you don't send 10 a day to the same person. So you've got to pace it and have an appropriate cadence for your business. That's the number one thing people should be doing. In a down economy, your first job, and maybe your only job, is to make sure you're communicating effectively and directly with your existing customers.
Yeah.
The only way to build your business is to get them to spend more and buy more often.
And what strategies do you propose for email capture? What do you find works best?
I find just in very large type at every customer touch point saying you'd like to communicate with them about values in the future and could they please give you their email address. That means when they're calling you, they get a message that says that. When they go to your website, they get a message that says that. Any customer touch point.
Mm-hmm.
What companies do poorly is, for instance, on TV or radio, they close with saying, contact us by going to this website or other. On TV, they show it for like 1 second. On the radio, they mention it for like 2 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard to remember.
Right.
So make it clear that you want their email address in large type. Give them plenty of time to understand what you're asking for. Don't forget your website should not be hard to read, which most are, and it should be very clear what you want people to do.
Absolutely.
One other thing, call them and ask them if you can have their email address because you want to be able to give them really quickly advance notice on special offers that may come in the future.
We're here in Times Square, and in addition to all of the crazy lights or the gigantic billboards you see all over the place, do you think that's still a viable medium?
Yes. I think signage, we call it outdoor, is if strategically placed and part of an integrated campaign.
Right.
One thing that marketers need to be mindful of is their message should be the same on all media at the same time. So whatever the billboard is saying should be on your website, should be on your email message, should be on your telephone message, should be in the mail if you're using direct mail. It's surprising how many people don't understand that. And that confuses the consumer, obviously, and they do nothing as a result.
I'm struck by the idea of the outdoor advertising because I commute into Grand Central Terminal, and there's these long corridors where they have 3 feet by 10 feet long signs, and a company like Tiffany's will roll out their newest line, and you get to see basically the whole product offering as you're walking down that corridor.
Right. And I think that's a good point, which is billboards really have to have simple messages. One of the things I see today is a lot of billboards have too much on them.
Mm-hmm.
Less is more. I don't know how many times one needs to say that, but less really is more. And if you want to look at people that do a good job in all media with kind of a billboard approach, it's Geico. Big black type, no white reverse, hard to read type. Very simple message, strong call to action, and a cute personality, which is the gecko.
Right.
And mostly white space.
What about a more traditional, older school medium?
Today, people say, what medium should I be using to promote myself? Direct mail is not as effective as it used to be, which one could argue. Technology is changing all the time. The other medium that is highly overlooked, which is never going away for I don't know how many decades from now, is drive time radio. Most people drive to and from work every day and will continue to for the next 100 years. And drive time radio can be a very, very effective medium, especially for local businesses. People should really give it a try. It's a great thing to try in this kind of economy because it's cheap to produce. You can test it quickly and see how it goes.
Steve, is social networking stuff that seems to be all the rage something that can help a business right now? And if so, what approach do you think companies should take?
The bad thing about social networking is it's overhyped. The good thing is there's no cost, essentially. So I would suggest that any company of any size open a Facebook account.
Okay.
In addition to that, open a Twitter account and have at it. Get your message out there and see what happens. One fun thing about using Twitter or Facebook is that you can do very quick, free market research by throwing an idea out there, a new product concept or a service, sending it to a bunch of friends and family and them sending it on to other folks and getting pretty quick feedback from sometimes thousands of people, which can be statistically significant. So it's great for quick and dirty, fast, free research.
I think the challenge with it is many times it just teeters on the brink of being annoying.
I agree. I think there is a lot of hype. There are some stats coming out these days that show that people that go on Twitter and Facebook drop off after just a few weeks and rarely come back.
Interesting.
The other thing is, which is kind of a backhanded compliment, you might as well use them while they're still around.
Right.
Neither one of them has any real basis for making money. So,
but they still keep getting this funding. Whatever.
And I think the other thing about social networking, which is kind of interesting, is this is not a new phenomenon. A company right here in New York has been doing social networking for 35 years, and that's the Gats, which started with getting people to do restaurant reviews and sharing them with other folks. So not a new phenomenon, just a new term to describe it.
Right.
In fact, all social networking is getting people to give their opinions to other folks. And another group that has done it for years and is always on the vanguard of this issue is Amazon. Amazon originally was getting folks to do book reviews, but now has reviews and feedback and blogs on every conceivable product and service in the universe, which of course they sell.
Exactly. We've been speaking to Steve Cohn, author of the books Steal These Ideas and Powerlines, Words That Sell, Brands, Grip Fans, and Sometimes Change History. Steve, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Just remember, we really need your feedback. So please drop us an email at podcast@amanet.org or call us at 800-697-3406. That number again is 800-697-3406. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.